We've been talking about Matthew. What have we said about Matthew? Anything? Anybody know? What are some stuff we said about Matthew? You, go. You look excited.
He was like, obey God.
All right, good.
He changed
his name to Matthew when he got saved.
Yep.
Austin?
He was a tax collector.
He was a tax collector. What else do you know about Matthew? What did we say? Scott?
Jesus came to him and said, get up and follow me.
Jesus said, hey, get up and follow me. Hannah? What else? You forget?
He was rich and hung out with the wrong people.
He was rich. He hung out with the wrong people.
He got up and followed Jesus no matter what he was.
Yeah, he got up and followed Jesus like in a random time. He just like got up in the middle of what he was doing and followed him. What about Matthew? Was he somebody you think Jesus would call?
No.
What about him would made him like not a good candidate?
He like stole money from people.
He stole money from people. Yeah, he was a thief and a liar and a bunch of other things we said, right? But yeah, Jesus called him and like you just said, he got up and he just followed Jesus. And that's crazy that he did that. So we're looking at this week, we're going to talk about how what he did was pretty, it was pretty awesome. Like, it lasted a long time. It wasn't one of these things where, oh, Matthew, come on, follow me. And he's like, this is pretty sweet. He's a pretty cool guy. I'm going to follow him and see what this is about. And then, like, a little bit down the road, all of a sudden, he's like, nah, I'm not into that. And he walks away. Matthew actually got up and was really committed, and he followed the whole time. And so we're going to see that this week. Since we're talking about Christmas, let me tell you a Christmas story. All right? You guys know about the one time I tried to like look at my presents and I had to duct tape them and my mom caught it. Okay. Well, this is a continuation to the series, okay? Like 2 years later, I think, okay, fine. I got messed up 2 years ago. I got caught. So I'm going to readjust my strategy, but I'm still going to be able to find out what's in my Christmas presents. So I had an ingenious idea this 1 year. I didn't go early. I didn't go in my mom's room. I didn't look in the closet. I waited because I knew by this point, some of you, I might actually be ruining Christmas for you. How many of you guys still believe in Santa? Besides me, anybody else still believe in Santa? There's no Santa?
Are you serious?
No, there is a Santa. No, I'm not going to add to your lies. Alright, so that's a heated debate. We'll have to have one on that later. But tonight's not on Santa. I kind of figured out by this point of my life that there was not a real such thing as Santa. But that at around 2 o'clock in the morning, when I was good and asleep and had lots of eggnog and all sorts of good stuff in my belly, and I'm laying on my bed all tired and sleeping, my parents would get up and they would mark the presents from Santa to me, right? And they would bring them out and they would put them under the tree. So that's when the good presents actually came out. So I would wait because even when I was finding out what they weren't that great. The good ones came out at like 2 a.m. Christmas morning. So I waited till 2 a.m. Christmas morning and I get up and I sneak out. And I gotta do this in the dark because one light pops on, the whole house is awake, ready to open presents, and they know you're there. So I sneak out of my room and I go to the tree. And around our tree, my mom always puts this like cloth thing. I don't even know what it's for, but there's always
tree skirt.
Trees shouldn't wear skirts. They're trees. But anyway, so there's this thing around the tree, and it's a big clothy looking thing, and it's like around the presents. And so you got to kind of step on it to like, you know, get around and kind of go through your presents, find out which ones say Rob on the top, you know, from Santa. And those are the good ones. So I'd get them, and I'd do my little thing, and I'd shake, and I'd check, and I'd squeeze, and I'd bang, and I'd thump, and all that good stuff to find out what is in this box. So, I do my thing. Nobody catches me. I am as quiet as a mouse. I am like a ninja warrior sneaking around to the shadows of my house. I make it back into my room and I think I'm scot-free. I'm good. Well, little do I know. Knock, knock, knock on my door. It's Christmas morning. We get up. We go to open presents. And to my dismay, the second we turn on the lights, all of a sudden, there is a sparkle trail from my room all the way to the tree. Apparently, Mama was wise to the situation, and you know that little skirt funny little thing that I don't think should be there? She dumps sparkles all in it to make it pretty, you know, so it looks all shiny like snow around your Christmas presents. But my socks collected the stinking things, and I got them, and they betrayed me because every step I took back to my room, blink, 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 little footstep of sparkles, and you don't see them in the dark. Once the light hits them, it's like, and they shine. And I'm like, it wasn't me, I swear. And like picks up my socks and they're like, I'm like, no, I was caught red-handed by the sparkles. So for you in your future, never try that at home because you will be caught red-handed. No, you've tried it. You've done it. You got away.
I have.
We'll share secrets later. We'll share secrets later. You're like, why are you telling us a story? What does this have anything to do with Matthew Austin? And I'm like, I don't know.
I set my alarm.
Hi.
At like 3 in the morning. And so I go out there and I look. And then they're there.
Okay, well, you can share your stories with me later. But the point of this story was this, okay? I got out there, no matter what I told my mom about me not having gone out to sneak under the tree, she knew because there was evidence left behind. Every footstep I took, I left another piece of evidence on the ground that made me guilty because she could see it. And she could follow that evidence trail from the tree all the way back to my room. And so every step I took, every action I made, I left evidence behind showing what I had done. Hold on, let me preach. Hold on.
I know.
When I look at Matthew's life, okay, as we're looking at this, there's something really cool about Matthew. He was a really quiet guy. He didn't talk a lot about himself, and we're going to see that tonight. Yet everything that Matthew did after the point where he got up and followed Jesus, he left evidence behind in his actions and the things that he did, so that when you look at his life, it was very clear that there had been a change in everything about him and who he was and the way he dealt with people, the things that he did for a living. Everything about Matthew just went and did a 180 change. And all you had to do was look at his life. And it was just as clear as those sparkle footprints going from the tree to my room. You could see those things in his life and say, wow, he really, truly loved Christ and followed him. And so we're going to see that tonight. That's what we're looking at. The evidence of why Matthew really did follow Jesus. So we're going to read Mark. You guys get your Bibles? Mark 3, chapter 3, verses 13 to 19. This is one of the few places in the Bible, remember, that even mentions Matthew. There's only a few. And this is one of them. And most of them actually say the same thing. It's the same account, just told in a different way. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 19 is what we're reading. It says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, there he is, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Thaddeus, cool name, huh? So those are the guys, those are the 12 that at that time Jesus had called and appointed to be his apostles. And so, as we look at Matthew, we're going to see a few things that show us that he was serious about what he did. He didn't just get up and like go into some camp, and we go on retreat sometimes and we feel all warm and fuzzy and come home and say, I'm different, Mom and Dad. And then a week later, we're right back doing the same stuff. This was something where Matthew seriously and truly changed everything about his life. And so we're going to look at this, some of the stuff that Matthew did here. First, look at verse 13. It says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. So the first big thing in Matthew's life, the reason why we know after he got saved, right? Jesus said, follow me. He follows him. And then later on, Jesus goes up on this mountainside and he says, okay, out of all these people that are believing in me, I need to call 12 guys to be my right-hand men, to go with me, to work with me, to help me. These guys I'm going to give all sorts of power to like do amazing things, but I only need 12. And Jesus could call anyone he wanted to call. Anyone. He's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He is God. He could have called whoever he wanted. But yet, he chose Matthew. Matthew's one of these guys. Do you think if Matthew had got up and followed Jesus that one day, remember, and then all of a sudden a week later was like, nah, forget this, I'm going back to my old ways, that Jesus would still have called him up to this mountainside and said, hey, look, I've watched you. I've seen how you love me. I've seen how your life has changed. I want you to be an apostle. Do you think he would have done that if he had seen Matthew just kind of go right back to his old self? I don't think so. I think the fact that Jesus called him to be an apostle is a really clear evidence. It's one of those sparkle footsteps that says, hey, wow, if Jesus saw the change in this guy's life, he must have truly been different. He must have truly changed. And not just in a little teeny way, because there are lots of people by this point that were believing in Jesus. But this had to be like a special person, especially selected by Jesus to be one of his apostles. And Matthew fit that category. I remember I was at the homecoming dance, I guess 10th grade? I must have been like 10th grade. And I'm at my homecoming dance in the gym, and it's all dark and the strobe lights are on. And there was this one girl that made my heart beat really, really, really fast. Her name was Jess Young. And I loved Jess for like 2 years. I liked her so much. And I saw her across the gym, and she was wearing this blark? This black dress, and it was like sparkly and had like, what do you call those? Sequins or something? That's a funny word. What is a sequin anyway? Shiny little round circle things. And I remember, but that was her dress. She had that on, and her hair was long and dark and black and shiny, big eyes, and I was like, oh, she's so pretty. What? Brown eyes. And so, anyway. So I saw Jess, and I'm like, dude, I have to dance with her. My friends are like, go ask her to dance. I'm like, I can't do it. Like, go ask her to dance. I'm like, I can't do it. So finally I got up the courage, right? And I see her. She's all the way across the gym. And so I walk up to Jess, and I'm like, and I just walk away. I just totally walked away. I'm like, I got this close. And she's looking at me like, what's he going to say? I was like, and then I walk off, right? And I'm like pretending I'm dancing by myself over here, you know? And then a couple minutes later, I'm all chill. I'm like, okay. I can do this. I got my nerves back. I'm ready to go. So I walk back up to Jess, and there she is, and I'm taking step by step, and I'm like, I feel like the Tin Man, and I need oil, you know? I'm like, I can't make it. And I get up to her, I'm like, yeah. I did it three times. Like, not just twice, like three times I did this. And finally she's looking at me like, this dude's a freak. Is he like stalking me? Like, what's he doing? And so I remember standing there with my friends, and I'm just kind of like, dude, I'm not going to be able to do it. I don't have the guts. I've done it three times. And all of a sudden I feel a tug on my shoulder. And I look over, and she takes my hands, and there's Jess. And she's looking at me with the big, beautiful eyes, and she's like, you want to dance? And I was like, I feel like such a girl right now, you had to ask me, but yes! Totally! So I went out and I danced with her. But it was amazing, and you know why? Because out of all the guys in that whole gym, well, first of all, she was the prettiest girl in school, okay? She was like, wah! But out of all the guys in the whole gym, she could have chosen any of them. She walked up to me. She chose me. Out of all those guys, she chose me. She could have danced with anybody she wanted. She was that cute and that popular and that awesome. But yet she wanted to dance with me that day. And when I think of Matthew, I think Jesus could have chosen anybody he wanted. And yet he looked at Matthew and he says, you know what? I want you. You don't necessarily have to be the person that knows the most about the Bible. You don't have to be the funniest guy. You don't have to be the coolest one to hang around. You don't have to be really good at sports. You don't have to be anything on anybody else's list. I want to choose you. I don't have to tell you why. You don't have to understand the reason. I just love you, and I choose you. Out of anybody, I choose you. And Matthew's just like, phew. And to me, that says, wow, this guy must have truly been changed. Because Jesus looked at him and deemed him worthy. And so, look at verse 14. Mark writes, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. You know, Matthew's change was so great that he was one of the only 12. There were only 12 of them. That's it. Just 12 allowed at this time that Jesus was going to select. So it's like this limited number. It was hard to be an apostle. It wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't this, just, oh, I'll just pick anybody. They had to be specifically appointed by Jesus himself. And it was a high, high honor. Because now you get to walk next to Jesus Christ and actually work with him and help him and follow him and minister with him. This wasn't just like anybody on the side of the road, come on, let's go. It almost seems like it sometimes, right? When he's just like walking by, dude, get up, follow me, and they follow. But Jesus specifically had a reason and a purpose for choosing each one of these people. And so it's not like just anybody got chosen to be an apostle, but Matthew got chosen. I remember playing kickball. You guys play kickball? You guys like kickball? For some reason, we have this thing where you say, oh, you're the fat kid in kickball. Like, whatever. Like, the fat kid never gets picked, because I was, like, always a fat kid. Like, yeah, I know the expression. Okay, so, anyway, in kickball, you guys don't say that? Well, fine, good. You shouldn't, because I found out that the chunkier a kid is, the better he kicks the ball. Like, I was a chunky kid, and I could boot that ball like crazy, because all that weight behind you, and you hit the ball, and it's like, and then after people found out, they were like, you, we want you for our team. Like, you're number one. Yeah, so the fat kid actually gets picked first, but whatever. I just know that from experience, don't worry about it. what's the point of this? Oh, okay. So, at the beginning of my kickball days, you know, you line up and you get two teams, and the captain is always like the cool kid who's like really good at everything he does. Yeah, Stuart Pittman. I remember because he was like first, second, third, fourth grade. He always had the prettiest girl, Katie. Her name was Katie. And I liked her so much, and Stuart always was by Katie, and she liked Stuart, and anyway, you're gonna think I'm all bitter or something. But anyway, so, anyway, he was like the cool kid, so he was always the captain, and I wanted to be on his team so bad. I was like, just pick me one day, Stuart. I just wanna play on your team. So, anyway, every single day, I'd be like going down the list, and it's like, oh, last one, chunky boy, you go stand over on the side, and I never get picked. Because I was a chunky kid. So I go sit over on the side, and I just have to watch him, and then I'll play kickball every single day, and I just have to watch. Little did they know I could kick the ball because I was chunky. So anyway, that's not the point. So this one day, this one kid gets up that Stuart picked over me, and he ran up to that ball, and that ball's coming, and he's swinging, and he's going to kick that thing so hard, and he runs up to the ball, and he whines like this, and he hits it. You know what happens once he hits the ball?
Did he fall over?
No, he didn't fall over. His pants split in half. I'm not even lying. They went like that. It was like, he's like, his face was like, oh! And then I'm like, oh! And then everybody's like, oh! And we could see his Scooby-Doo underwear. Dude, they were Scooby-Doos. I still remember. It was so funny. And he's so embarrassed. He covers his butt like this and he runs back into school. He had to like get a change of clothes. Well, hey, guess what? They need a teammate now. And then they said, hey, Pat, you get over here. That's right. And then I got to play kickball. And that's when they discovered I could launch the ball out of the field. But at that moment when that kid left, I was so happy. I was like, sweet, this is my chance. Please pick me, pick me, pick me. And Stuart, for some reason, looked over. And I remember a cool kid finally looked at me and he was like, hey, you. I was actually like third grade. So he was like, hey, you. But to me, it sounded like, hey, you. And I was like, me? I'm looking around like, me? I'm the only guy on the sideline. You know, who else is it going to be? Okay. And I got to play. I felt so honored that I got picked for the team. You know, bad situation, whatever. Don't feel bad for me. But the point was, dude, that was an honor. Finally, Stuart had picked me to be on his team. Like, that's the team. Matthew is looking at Jesus going, you're picking me? Like, I'm one of the 12? Like, I made the team? Why? And I can almost relate probably to this guy who feels like, I mean, I can't anywhere near relate to him, but in a little way, I feel like the fat kid in kickball, you know? Like, why would you pick me? Why would I deserve to be on your team? And yet, Jesus still chose him. For something, something special that he saw in him. And he's like, look, I want you. You're one of my 12. You're on the team. And so Matthew gets on this team, and look what Jesus does with him. Verse 14, let's read it one more time. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and look what it says. And that he might send them out to preach. You know why he called these guys? So they get passionate about Jesus. And he could send them out, and they could take that truth about who Jesus is and tell it to the whole world. About how awesome Jesus Christ is that they get to follow him. What a difference they've made. I mean, Matthew, remember what a scumbag he was? Like, the dude was just blah. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes in his life and he's like, poof, completely changed, totally different. And he's this new creation over here and he's like, look what happened to me. And Jesus calls these guys and says, look, I am going to send you out. He didn't say, I'm going to call you to sit in your youth group every single week and sing and go home and leave it right here. He didn't say, go to Sunday school. He said, I'm calling you 12. The reason why I'm calling you Christians, believers in Jesus, is to send you out so that you go to your schools and you tell people, you preach, you tell people how awesome Jesus Christ is and the difference he's made in your life, the change that he's made, the value he gave to you. And so that you go out and you do that. Or maybe you go home to your house and tell your family about it or just your friends that you know. But he's called you to do that. And he called Matthew to go out and preach. And he called these 12 together and he says, this is what I want to do for you. And as we look at Matthew's life, Matthew barely tells us any of this stuff. But as we look through history at things Matthew actually did, check out some of the stuff he actually did. It won't even tell us because he's that humble. It's awesome. The Gospel of Matthew itself, the book he wrote, he's the only one that tags this little tag called, he says, Matthew the Publican. You know the publican we talked about? The tax collector, right? That's what that means. He's the only one out of all the other guys who wrote about him that mentions he was a tax collector. He tags that little tag on his name. It's like, why would you say that? If you were, let's say, this guy, he's an ex-con, he goes out and he robs banks, and all of a sudden he gets saved and becomes a big pastor. And then on every billboard that he has at his church, he puts, Pastor Reverend Thomas, whatever, and then he puts the thief under his name. The bank robber. Like, doesn't that sound weird?
Yeah.
Yet Matthew in his gospel writes, Matthew, the publican, the traitor, the tax collector. This little tag that reminds him and everyone else that, you know what? I would still be trash. I would still be a liar and a thief if it hadn't been for Jesus. And you need to know that. And he wasn't too full of himself to write that in his own gospel. So that's pretty awesome about Matthew. And then, you know what? We said before, he barely even mentions anything that he did at all. As we read his gospel, he talks all about the other disciples, telling you what they did and all these different things. You know how much he mentions about the things he did? Nothing more than I was Matthew the tax collector and I was chosen by Jesus. That's it. That's all he says about himself. I'm talking a humble guy. We know he's done amazing things, but we had to find out through history about it. Because he wouldn't even write it about himself. His whole book is focused on what the other guys did and then on Jesus. So that you wouldn't say, oh Matthew, good job, you're so great, good change in your life. That's humility. I think sometimes when I try to like serve God sometimes, that little bit of pride creeps in too. And it's like I'm waiting for, good job. You love Jesus. Oh, I saw you worship the other day and it inspired me. And we're waiting for that pat on the back and we do good stuff so that people pat us on the back. Or we think God's up there going, oh yeah, great job. And instead, Matthew says, he shows us something different and says, I can't do anything but serve you. I don't have a choice. I love you that much. I'm not waiting for a pat on the back. I can't wait to just get out and do it. And I don't have to tell anybody about it. And he puts Jesus at the center. To me, that's true Christianity right there. That's a true conversion in this guy's life. Some of the names that he says about Jesus, look, he says, Christ is King. In his book, he says he's the Messiah. He calls him Deliverer of Israel, Son of Abraham, Son of God, Son of Man, King of the Jews. He tells how the kings came and worshipped Jesus, the kings from the east when he was born. He tells us about how King Herod tried to kill him because he knew that he was going to be the king of all creation. Or at least the king. And so he puts Jesus up on this huge pedestal and says, Jesus is King. And then he leaves himself out of the book humbly because he wants you to know when you read this book that it's about Jesus. Don't get distracted by me up here. I don't want you to even see me in this book. I just want you to see Jesus. And that's what he does. What a humble guy. And then finally he tells about how Jesus hung on the cross and above him, Pilate had that sign hung over his head that says, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Man, I think he wants us to know who Jesus is. And when Christ calls us, like he called Matthew, our job is to go tell people that Jesus is the King. That's why we're called. That's our job. And then Matthew, we see that he wrote his little book there and the rest of the Bible. He went and translated it into Hebrew. Well, Hebrew, that's his people, right? Well, some of the big church fathers who like wrote all the history of like the church way back when, I'm going to say a couple big names. You're going to be like, who are they? But I want you to start recognizing these names. Irenaeus is the first name. And Irenaeus is this really, really predominant church historian, okay? And he says this about Matthew's gospel. He says it was written for the Jews. The next name, Origen. Origen said that Matthew wrote the book for the Hebrews. Eusebius, see they're big names, he said that he delivered the gospel to his own countrymen. And so all these church fathers are looking at the book of Matthew and seeing how he translated it, and this is what they're telling us, because Matthew couldn't say it himself. He wanted to leave himself out of it. Saying that everything Matthew did, pretty much, when he was sent out, was to his own people. Now, rewind with me. Let's go back. We rewind. Matthew's sitting where when Jesus calls him? Who's he cheating? His own people. He's cheating and lying to his own people, and they look at him working for Caesar, for the Romans, and they call him a
traitor.
And now Matthew, after being changed by Jesus, we're told everything he did after that conversion was to who? His own people. So he goes from cheating them and stealing everything from them to bringing them the greatest gift he can give them, Jesus Christ. That's a 180 conversion right there. That is a change completely. Going from destroying your own people to investing everything about your life into them. And you know how Matthew died? As a martyr for the gospel to his own people. Matthew was killed for the gospel. That's a huge change. That's a big difference. He was called to be passionate to share Christ, and he was, even to the death. He died in Ethiopia. And then the last thing, look in verse 15. We'll end with this right here. He was given the power to drive out demons. He says in verse 15, and to have authority to drive out demons. Well, not everybody could do this. In Acts 19:13-16, it says that some people went up and they tried to cast this demon out in the name of Jesus. And the demons basically looked back and said, oh, we've heard the name Paul, we've heard the name Jesus, but who are you? And all of a sudden, the guy who had the demons in him jumped up and started beating up all these guys. And like beat them up really bad. And they tried to drive out these demons on their own. They thought just by saying the name Jesus, they could do it. And they could prove to everybody how holy they were. So not everybody could drive out demons. Okay, this is a scary thing. They got beat up bad for it. So if Matthew could do this, that means he really had the authority of Jesus inside of him, living in him, the Holy Spirit, to be able to do this. This is a true conversion. But be careful. I don't want you to think, oh, so it's all about works. I need to be able to drive out demons and do miracles and I'll do all this stuff to be a good Christian. No, listen to Matthew 7:21-23. This comes from the book of Matthew. Ready? He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So some people are going to walk up to the throne of Christ and say, look, you've got to let me in. You've got to let me in these pearly gates. Because I drove out demons and I told people about you and did all this awesome stuff. Look at the list of things I've done. And Jesus looked back and said, you know what? I don't know you. Because it's more than works. You can't present some list to Christ and say, look at all the stuff I did for you. It's about truly knowing Christ. And if you truly love Jesus, if He's changed you, you'll do those things. But just because you do them doesn't mean you love Jesus. So Matthew says, be careful. When you love Him that much, when He's changed you, He will radically change your life. There was this one girl, I was eating at someone's house this one time, and there was a girl sitting there. She's really finicky about food. Like, she was all, oh, I don't like that, I don't like this, you know? You don't know any of those people, do you? No. Well, anyway, she's sitting at the table, and we're eating, and the host, in this particular country we're in, they kind of mix things into their food. They'll eat make something they like, but they can't afford a lot of it, so they'll mix other stuff in to make it look like more and feel like more. So anyway, we're sitting there eating, and they bring out, the host brings out this food. It's really impressive looking. It's like a big pile of like bean dip over here, and or this bean stuff. And then over here, it looks like a big piece of steak, a big piece of meat, grilled meat. And like in this country, it is like, it's amazing. This is a good meal. Only wealthier people eat it. Well, we're not eating in a very wealthy house. So that's our first clue. Okay? But they want to treat us nice. We're the guests in their home. So they come out and they put this down, and the girl looks at it and she's all scared that it was going to be something weird, like, well, whatever. And so she's looking at it and she's like, this smells good. Like, this is awesome. Like, this looks pretty good. So she starts biting it. She's like, steak. Eating it. She's liking it. You know, bean dip. Oh, that's pretty good. I don't even like beans, but this tastes awesome. What did you put in this? And she looks at the lady and she goes, oh, well, those are beans. You know, you grind them up. She's going through the recipe. And she's like, what we do is we take the beans and we grind them up and we take earthworms. And we mix the earthworms in there. I'm not lying. I ate this stuff. And then the steak that we thought we were eating had a kind of strange shape. Huh? No, it was actually cow tongue. It was the tongue of a cow. It's actually kind of chewy. It was a little weird texture. But I didn't mind it. But the girl's like freaking out. She looks back and I see her face just goes pale white, and she's looking at me like boop, boop, boop. She gets up and she beelines for the bathroom. You just hear puking out of the bathroom. I'm like, oh no, what are they gonna think? So I'm trying to eat this stuff, and now that I know it's earthworm, I'm like, no. So I'm trying to eat her food. She comes back out, she didn't touch the stuff again. There's a funny thing about that story, okay? It sounds funny, whatever. It was kind of nasty, actually, but when the girl ate it and didn't really know what it was pretty good. Granted, like, I thought it was decent too. Texture was funny, but it's pretty good food. All of a sudden, finding out what it really was, when we found out the truth about that food, it seemed like something I didn't want to put in my mouth ever again. It seemed gross. It seemed wrong to eat that. And then I think what truth does. And I think about our lives, and all of a sudden, all those things that we do every day that look so awesome and attractive and fun and great and amazing, when we find out the truth of what they really are, shouldn't they seem disgusting to us? Shouldn't some of the stuff that we do that we have so much fun doing every single day, when we see it in the light of Jesus and how He hates sin, shouldn't we start to look at it differently? Shouldn't we see the change in us like we do in Matthew? That conversion where Jesus Christ in His truth changes us and makes us do a 180. And we're like, whoa. All of a sudden those things don't seem attractive anymore because I know the truth about them. And He changes us and He makes us different. And so I'm encouraged when I look at Matthew. And I have one question for you. I want to leave you with this and I want you to think about it for a second. If the world looked at you today, people who did not know Jesus, they looked at you today. And they looked at your life, and they tried to find evidence, like we talked about before. Is there evidence of how you believe in Jesus? Would they find anything? Would they look at your life and say, oh yeah, they really do believe in Christ? The way we just looked at Matthew's life and could see this evidence of His change. If they did that to you, if they looked at your life right now, looked at the decisions you made and the things that you love to do, that you hold so dear, would they look and say, yeah, they love Christ. Man, what a difference in their life Jesus made. Or would they be like, they're just like me. There's no difference. I want to encourage you to look at Matthew and be inspired by that. Not try to make yourself do different things. But if you don't know the love of Jesus that can change you, I hope that inspires you to look for it. To ask Him for it, that He would change you. Will you pray with me? God, we love You so much, Lord. Don't let us keep living the same lives that we live. Help us to take the truth that You put inside of us and Your love, God, that changes us. And just change us, God. Make us changed. God, if there's somebody in here, Lord, that hasn't asked You for that, who hasn't found Your love, God, that You'd grab their heart and You'd shake them up and You'd say, hi, I'm God. They could get to know You. Tell us to get up and follow You so we have that chance, God, so we can obediently just get up and say, change me, make me different. We love You, Lord, and I pray Your blessing on each of these students, God, and leaders. Bless them throughout their week, Lord, and help them get to know You more deeply. We love You, Lord, in Your name. Amen.